That was Drake May on with us earlier here. It's Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons, live from Gillette Stadium here on a Patriots Monday. Nice to have you with us today. Your phone number is 617-779-7937 if you'd like to chime in on anything we haven't gotten to yet or anything we've discussed there, including what Drake May just said. Which I thought he was pretty upfront, pretty good, pretty relaxed. I mean, we're not the scariest guys in the world when it comes to doing these interviews. I don't think, you know, not big scary.
Are we supposed to be
afternoon dry? You know, hurling the tough questions at him. I don't think there are a lot of tough questions to ask this week. You know, He has a bad game. Like a legitimately bad game, then yeah, we'll be a little tougher probably, but I don't know. I mean, I think after a debut like that, yeah, they didn't win the game, and he said that right away. He said, it didn't go the way we wanted. We want to win these games. But I think deep down, he's looking at it like, yeah, I threw 3 touchdown passes, over 200 and whatever yards. Look at the other rookies who are all doing well right now. They didn't have a starting point like this. This is my starting point. I'm already, and I think this is true, Caleb Williams, Daniels even, Nix, all of them. They didn't start here. I think May's starting here. These other guys started down here.
Dan Marino, you ever heard of him?
I've heard of Dan Marino.
He's the only one on the list with me that you've ever heard of after his opening day with 3 interceptions. I mean, 3 touchdowns. To me, there's no reason, unless you're trying to be some kind of a jackass hardo. Like, what are the questions you're going to, hey, nice throw on that interception. Like, what are you going to be a... Now, if we brought Elliot Wolf in and sat him down, I'd be concerned where the interview would go, especially from your vantage point where you say, quote, we have one player on the roster, it's the other 52 I'm worried about or something.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, come on.
But no, Drake May went out there and injected life, whether you ask players or coaches, injected life into the passing game, injected energy into the team, injected entertainment value for fans. So I'm gonna just assume the guy who sits, where are we? Way above us down there a little bit, Robert Kraft.
Oh, he sits over there?
Well, up, but down there, but up.
Down there and up?
Yeah. I'm going to guess he was happy yesterday. He wouldn't admit it because he wants to win. But you think he was happy?
That first touchdown drive, I thought him and Jonathan were going to do a backflip.
100%.
Yeah. Exactly. So we all assumed that on some level, maybe ownership was starting to sniff around and be like, hey, I've heard about this plan thing. When do we plan on playing the Maserati and getting him out there? I think he was probably happy. I think you said it. DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Booty, happy, right? Like, I think Gerard Mayo has to say he's not happy because his team has lost 5 in a row and all of that. But I think there's a portion of him, a compartment in his compartmentalization, that was absolutely happy with what he saw from his quarterback, right?
Definitely. So And you could tell as the game went on and the high fives got, like, less and less intense, like, that, you know, all right, the game's not going well, but, hey, the quarterback looks okay,
right.
Like, you know, right?
So
that one to Henry, like, that was a very understated high five. But the first one, I mean, they were belly bopping up there. Like, that was a whole thing, yeah.
Because it was a 14-7 game. Like, you're in a game, ball game, but everybody involved with this team, to me, in some portion of their now, Hunter Henry wasn't the most exciting interview with Jones and Keefe. Kendrick Bourne had a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. He was kind of upbeat about where things are going, even though he was willing to acknowledge what they are right now, a bad team that's playing badly that lost a game. But almost everybody surrounding this organization, to me, should feel a little bit of positivity, a little bit of, are we turning the corner there? Like, kind of feeling it. And that's okay. You don't have to be Harry Hardo, the kid that sits on the bus with his helmet on in high school riding the whole way home because we lost. I understand you lost. And guess what? Everybody knew you were going to lose a lot of football games this year. Did anybody pick them to beat the Texans, you think, to start the year?
No, but you picked them on the Sunday show.
Yeah, I was just being homerish.
Oh, now he's just being homerish. Okay, sorry. I thought that was a legitimate pick.
The real picks are on the 6 rings pod.
I didn't know it was just a fake, you know, Sunday morning. Yeah, let's just get the fans excited. I thought that was an actual Andy Hart pick.
27-13 on the Sunday pod, on the 6 rings pod.
Well,
that show, that little show you do in the middle of the day.
It's not the middle of the day. It's 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. NFL Sunday.
But I'm middle. I'm 12:30, baby.
Yeah.
Smack in the middle of the day, leading into the game. And I told you I'd never done that before. And guess what? I'll never do it again. I'm never changing last minute. I got caught up in the emotion, the excitement. I'm a maniac. I'm a May fan. I thought maybe there would be a little boost. And I'm not going to lie to you. At 14-7, I was like, did I get this right? Is there a chance that I validated in changing my pick?
I'm telling you, halftime, that was the peak of the game.
And then
halftime, sitting there going, they could really win this game. And then it's like, nope. No, they can't.
Nope. Then the game I expected and then some developed in the second half. But
I can't even make fun of you either because I tried to shoot the moon in that San Francisco game, too.
Yeah.
Like, I picked him to win that game because I thought that was the last chance he could have to have a really,
that
a
was
really
way
wild.
That
was dumber, definitely. But okay, if you. They had won, I would have been the only one who picked him. I would have been the only one in the world that picked him to win that
game. But teams get bumped. Like tonight, I don't know if we're picking the game later, but you have Bills and Jets.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this game.
They're very often... teams get bumps out of the head coach thing, and we think it matters, and it doesn't. The week after, they go back to being a crappy team than the reason that their coach was fired. But it's like Antonio Pierce, Jeff Satter, even bad coaches give bumps to teams.
Yep.
I think Romeo Crennel got one a couple years ago when he took over. I think it's pretty common that you get the bump from a new head coach.
Especially if they hate the old guy.
You and I were trying to get a bump. I don't know what you were trying to get a bump from in San Francisco. That was just a bad pick.
No, I was just trying to be the only one to pick something.
Getting a bump from the young rookie quarterback. I thought it might inject some energy, but it did.
Also, the Niners weren't off to a great start. I thought maybe, like, all right, a bunch of guys injured.
Plus, you hated Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy's not even good. What does he do well? And then he's, like, running around the field, flinging it and slinging it.
Yeah, he's John Elway out there. That was fun. All right, let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston, who has a thought on the rookies. Let's go ahead, Ralph. What's up?
Hey, guys. You know, May looked so much more comfortable as the game went on. He looked more confident. His throws were much better, more accurate, and he felt comfortable. And I think the way he started has a little bit to do with Mayo not playing him much in the preseason. How many snaps did he really have with the number one offense? I think that has something to do with it. Now, to me, Mayo is the one that had a horrible day. I mean, how many times are running backs going to run through your front line and then run all the way for a touchdown? I mean, that's his defense. And we thought the defense was really our strength, and they didn't look good in any facet of the game yesterday. And that's all on Mayo. Now, I know one of you was saying you're not really sold on Mayo. I'm not sold on him at all. I, without a doubt, wanted Rabel. And I saw this, and I said, well, you know, he's a rookie coach. His play calling and everything – let's face it, it's all on the coach. The way they play, the calls they make, it's all on the coach. You're the head guy. And he sucked yesterday. He really did. Look at how the defense looked. You know, some of the calls. I'm not sold at all on Mayo. And he better really start snapping up or he's going to be fired like next year or something. If they keep playing some games where you see the mistakes, I'm sure you guys have seen some of the calls.
How about the opening kickoff, huh? How about that? The opening kickoff was a penalty in the opening freaking kickoff. Like, come on. Can you get the guys ready to line up for the opening kickoff? Is that too much to ask? Can we get that? Can we not have any more of those? Like, that seems like an easy place to start.
Their second one this year.
Right?
They did it in like week 2. My God, it was horrible.
The penalties were way out of control. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
The one thing I will say, to me, there is a growth process here, and I don't know what Jerod Mayo is. I really don't. And I don't mean to say that, like, disparagingly, but he dubbed Alex Van Pelt the head coach of the offense.
Yep.
So I'm kind of – he's at arm's
in play calling,
distance,
I agree.
You know what I mean? I'm not sure if this is his defense or if this is DeMarcus Covington's defense, because guess what? The last defense wasn't his.
Right.
It was a combination of Steve Belichick calling the plays, and Bill Belichick is like the executive producer. And then Jerod Mayo was like one of the other producers just listed, right? I don't know exactly what his role was. Now, we had always heard Steve Belichick didn't like commanding a room and having to address the whole unit, and Jerod would kind of handle those. But I don't know how invested he was. I know Tom Curran has always said...
He was the spokesman of the defense.
Kinda. And I don't...
Now he's the spokesman of the team.
Now he... Exactly.
If it's not his defense, it's not his offense, then he's just the spokesman of the team, basically, right?
Yeah, but I think there might be some truth to that.
Mm.
And therefore, but as the overseer or spokesman, you do need to rein it in when it stinks, right? Like, if Alex Van Pelt is doing a poor job, I'm not telling you tell him exactly what to do, but you need to say, Alex, this isn't good enough, or we need to change some things, or you're not doing X, Y, and Z well enough. Same thing with Covington. He can't be totally hands-off and just be a spokesman. He can't just do, you know, media conferences, Greg Hill show, talk to the players, joke, and then move along. Like, I feel like there needs to be more to that. But am I wrong in that you don't – do you have a feel for what he does?
Jerod Mayo?
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay, because I don't either. And that may be good or bad. Maybe that allows him to be hands-off and be like, Robert, I just oversee these things. We need to get a new coordinator. We need to get a new guy here. I don't think he's in danger. I think the only guy – like, the coordinators could be in danger. Both of those guys could be in danger after this season.
Yeah.
I would not rule that out.
Well, they made such a big shot, and that's why I disagree with the caller when he says, yeah, he might get fired next year. I don't think so. We've talked about this. I think they've made way too much of an investment in Jerod Mayo that unless there's a full-on, an actual, sorry, Evan Lazar, an actual mutiny in the locker room, like a real one, I don't think you're going to see him get canned. I think the players, for the most part, like him. I think a lot of these guys are paid and happy. And, you know, as far as the way the games are going, maybe they're a little bit frustrated, but not so much with Jerod Mayo. Maybe with each other, maybe with the coordinators, maybe with, you know, position coaches and things like that. And that's part of being in the NFL and being a losing team. But Jerod Mayo, I think, is a made man, at least for another year.
And Mike Vrabel's still available, because I saw this weekend. You see that picture of him at a volleyball game at Ohio State?
Yeah.
So apparently he's got some time on his
living
hands.
His best life.
I guess.
Watching some volleyball. 617-779-7937. That is your phone number. We have one phone line open, so go ahead and grab it, and we will get to all of your phone calls in our big, long segment right after Stiz tells you what's trending. Drake May with us about an hour ago, talking about his relationship with Alex Van Pelt. It's Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Phone line's open at 617-779-7937. We've got two open right now if you want to jump on. We'll have odds and ends coming your way here in about 20 minutes. That question and answer I thought was interesting, because
thank you
for all of the crap that we give Alex Van Pelt. It doesn't really matter what we think of him. Nope. It matters what Drake May thinks of him. Drake May seems to like him. I thought that was an honest answer. I remember interviewing Mac about the offensive coaching and him struggling to try and come up with ways to compliment guys like Judge and Patricia, and then even O'Brien later on, and sort of, you know, the Zappy and all that. And
yep.
Like, I remember there not being a very good relationship there. And maybe he's just better at BSing it. It's the first game. And here we are, you know, sort of talking about my first game where I played pretty well. By, you know, rookie standards, I would say. And maybe it's just the honeymoon period as far as that's concerned. But I don't think so.
I don't think
I think there's something more to it there. I think that's legitimate. Yeah.
That was just a natural reaction, I thought. Now, I disagree with the way you set it up. The only person who matters is him? Contraire, mon frère.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that's where you go down roads of problems with guys that grow sometimes too tight to their offensive coordinator play caller, who maybe isn't doing a great job, and then the head coach organization has to say, we don't want that guy, and the quarterback flips. Aaron Rodgers would come to example
Rodgers
many
and
times.
Mackett? Yeah, sure. Over,
but even before then, there was a quarterback's coach in Green Bay that he flipped out because they moved on from him, and they like didn't talk to him first. So I agree. If it works, and it's the production matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he likes him. I think that was genuine. I think he likes and respects what the experiences he's had and what he brings to the table. If they don't start scoring more points, being more effective, production on the field, and he still likes him, that can actually create a divide, because maybe he's like, I don't want a new coach. I like this coach.
Right.
And the organization's like, yeah, but that coach is not getting us to where we need to be as a team and an offense. So, but I think it's a good start. It's better for him to like him now, and now hopefully Alex Van Pelt, because I didn't think he did all that much that looked Drake May specific. I didn't really think they were designed runs. I didn't really think there were, you know, did he keep at all on any of sort of the zone reads? Like his runs were sort of the scrambled runs.
I don't think there was one single designed run or
right.
even RPO.
That's
that
what
he
I mean.
Was in there for,
so
yeah.
I'm looking for more of that, because he also perked up Drake May when you said like about the running part. He's like,
right.
Yeah, that's part of my game. Like he wants to run.
Definitely.
You know, there are quarterbacks
and he did
who
run.
Don't.
It wasn't on, you know.
No. But he
running for his life.
Again,
time, yeah.
Energy is telling, and when guys immediately perk up like that,
mm-hmm.
he wants running and his legs to be part of his game, and I think that's on Alex Van Pelt to scheme that up amongst all the other things in the offense and the game and the different things I want to see moving forward. So it'll be interesting to see how that role develops, and the opportunity it's a lesser defense this week and a lesser offense. They
right.
might not have to score as many points to win, and they might find the challenge a little easier on the defensive side of the ball. And so we'll see. Now, we could be having the opposite conversation. Well, not opposite for you, but opposite for me.
Right.
He could go lay an egg against the Jags. He could throw three picks and a fumble and not have the touchdowns and not have the plays and look confused and look like a chicken with its head cut
mm-hmm.
off, just running in circles back there.
And I bet after that, maybe we're not getting, oh, yeah, I love Alex Van Pelt and his play calling so much. You know,
right.
Like, yeah.
I bet you would. I bet you'd get that's on me. I didn't show up. I wasn't ready to play. I didn't do a good enough job.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just me being a homer.
Sure. No, that's fine. Remind me again now. May had a new coordinator between freshman and sophomore year in college, right?
Yes.
Like they blew out all the
yes.
a big wide receiver left, a whole new coaching staff.
Yes. Josh, whatever, the
mm-hmm.
receiver he threw 100 balls to, left.
Right.
A new coordinator. Now, I think Christensen, the veteran guy who was with the Buccaneers in the past, I think
yep.
he was there for both, but he's like a consultant. He's not really the actual guy. But, yeah, he's dealt with that. That was part of the story of the drop-off that scared some people and seemed to,
you know, make him more pleasing to the Patriots.
Yeah.
They liked that he dealt with adversity.
I like that he dealt with adversity too, but I don't necessarily want to recreate that adversity for him in his pro career if you don't need to and if it's not vital to do so. Like, if Alex Van Pelt ends up being so just dysfunctional and he can't put an offense together and it's really not working with May and his numbers start to drop off and he starts to look like a bot, all that stuff, you know? Like, if that happens, you got to make a move. But if May has a good rookie year, I don't necessarily think that you want to have that, because that was a problem with Mac. Right? I mean, McDaniels left and became a head coach, so it was right. A different thing altogether, right? But, like, that was an issue. Well, the lack of continuity, I think, between one year to another made that a much more difficult situation for the young quarterback.
Plus, you went from the arguably the best offensive coordinator in the league to the worst.
To a defensive coordinator.
Right. Like, that's...
And a special teams coach.
Right. So that's a unique situation in a
right.
way. But I'm going to say it right now. I have no idea what happens over the next 11 games. I think you have to have that conversation in January. If you're Robert Kraft, Elliot Wolf, mm-hmm. Gerard Mayo, and I don't know, that might be it. Sit down and say...
Ben McAdoo,
maybe. Mm-hmm. If he's staying as a consultant and yep. whatever his role is that everybody seems to be very vague and sort of distant about, you have to say, are we all in on Alex Van Pelt? Because if we're not all in, then we're out. Because I want to make it after year one. I don't want to waste multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, you know, more habits, more language, more everything being beaten into May if I'm not sure. It's sort of like, you know, that point where every dating relationship has where, like, are we going
the
down?
What are we? Yeah.
Like, we going down the real serious road?
Yeah.
Or are we probably, we've kind of run its course and it's time to go the other way? I think you're going to have that conversation, because I don't envision this offense just being like, wow, that Alex Van Pelt offense is just impressive. Like, the things he did with Drake May. I just, with everything you've talked about, all the other players on the offensive line, their targets, I don't envision that. So I think you need to reinvest your faith in Alex Van Pelt and say, it wasn't great this year, but we believe in you to get us to where we want to be.
Yep.
And guess what? We're going to give you a better line, and we're going to give you better receivers, and then you're going to have that ability. Or you have to say, listen, I know it wasn't all you, but we didn't think you maximized what you had, and we don't think this is going in the right direction, and Brian Daboll's available.
Yeah, and so we're going to go with that. Maybe we'll make Van Pelt the QB coach or something, and we'll keep him on staff if you really like him, but yeah.
2 years in a row, if you – because most fans, I do think, wanted Vrabel. I do think a lot of fans wanted Vrabel, and maybe a majority of fans. And he was available, and you didn't take him, you took Mayo.
Nobody took him.
If next year Daboll is available this winter, and you stick with Van Pelt – and then things don't go where you want to, you're going to have to keep hearing about that. Daboll was available. You could have gotten Daboll. Daboll built Josh Allen. Daboll knows what he's doing. Daboll's been here. Daboll. So I think, now this is, I'm digging his grave early in New York.
A little bit, yeah.
Presuming that he's done in New York. But you got to be careful with that if there's a better, an obvious better option available.
Yeah, agreed. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Steve in Fall River, our good friend Steve. What's up?
How are you guys? Boy, they like Drake May because he could deal with chaos. Boy, that one shocked me a little bit.
Adversity.
That's still unnerving. Very unnerving right there.
Because every quarterback must deal with adversity.
So if I didn't watch the game and I just looked at the stats, I think I could have figured out what kind of game Drake May had. He did better than Jacoby Brissett. He equaled his touchdown passes. He had a couple of interceptions. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of drops. So he actually could have had more completions instead of 20. He could have had 23 completions. He could have almost had 300 yards. Whatever he had.
Okay.
We can't look at the, I can't see us looking at every single pass and talking about every single pass he made in every single game. But I do want to go to what Andy said about his intermediate passes look bad, although he claims that's his better part of his game. Mm. I saw the first touchdown pass. I said to my buddy, I'm sitting there, look at the touch he had on that. It was like guided by wire, like, wow, he dropped it right in his hands. I'm glad he can make that pass. And if he thinks he can do the intermediate better, I think it's easier to learn the intermediate passing. It'll come to him, the intermediate passing.
Hopefully it does, Steve. Much thanks better. For the call. This is taking way too long for you to get to your point, so I'm going to let you go. But I think that, you know, the short passing game, come on.
I love how frustrated
2 minutes of nothing. I mean, Jesus, come on.
Bravo,
Steve, you know what we do when the start. Like, come on. The end of the show, you got to get to your point a little quicker than that. And I still don't know what the hell his point was. Either way, the intermediate passing game, the short passing game, I thought was the weakest part of his game yesterday.
Yeah.
Short passing game, I thought, needs some work. I mean, listen, that's really what it's about. And this is an offense that doesn't have a ton of, like, deep play, deep threat, big-time playmakers. It just doesn't. You have guys, maybe if you can get down the field and get open, if the line gives you enough time to run that kind of route, fine. But you don't really have those kind of guys. You've got possession receivers, and you're going to have to hit them in the flats and over the middle, and that's something he needs to work on.
You know what I thought was sneaky, his worst maybe rookie play of the day was on the screen pass that wasn't there, and he held on to it, then threw it into the ground, but by that time one of the offensive linemen was downfield because he's like, it's a screen
Lowe
pass.
Oh, Lowe was down there, yeah, right, and they called the penalty on him, yeah.
You need to know. As soon as that's not there, and I agree with him, it wasn't there, throw it into the ground. I've seen every quarterback from Peyton Manning to Tom Brady to Patrick Mahomes did it recently, one of the last couple weeks. And that was, to me, a rookie mistake because when you hold on to that, nothing good can happen. Because on a screen pass, they let the pass rushers through.
Right.
So you holding the ball, bad. And on a screen pass, it's supposed to be quick and they get moving downfield.
So they can go block, right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, there's no way for this to end well if you hold on to the ball, unless you run immediately. Tuck and run. But he wasn't tucking and running. He was still holding the ball like it was a passable piece of bread. And I thought that was his worst play of the game. Probably should have asked him about it. Damn it.
All right. Well, last
if only
week.
We got to talk to him.
Hey, you remember 2 weeks ago, Drake, that screen where you duffed it? Yeah, what was that about?
Don't you think he needs a nickname? I think. Can we do a show this week on Drake May nicknames?
Sure. Yeah, why not? Not off the top of my head,
no. Mayday Drake.
All the ones I can think of are, like, Drake the Rapper related, and that's not a good subject right now because he just got destroyed this summer by Kendrick Lamar. So that's not someone you want to...
Drake's Cakes.
Yeah, Drake's Cakes.
Baking up victories all over New England.
Drake's Cakes sounds like it's objectifying him a little bit, but yeah.
Drake's Cakes are sweet.
That's okay. Let's go to Chris in New Hampshire.
I like his cakes.
All right,
moist.
Okay, stop. Chris in New Hampshire,
I like moist cake.
Jesus.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chris,
I want to get your thoughts
for stopping Andy.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen them try to go in and get a touchdown at the very end of the game. They were kind of moving down the field. I know it would not have made a difference in the final score, but I would have liked to have seen them kind of put Drake May in a position to try to get another touchdown, you know, work more with the receivers, get a little more continuity with the team. What do you think?
Absolutely. I 100% think they should have gone for it there, maybe even taken a timeout with the clock running down. They went for it on fourth down twice, so clearly they were trying to put a drive together, and then they were just like, hey, you know what, the hell with it. Let's all just go home. And that annoyed me. That was annoying. There was some other things that annoyed me, too, like that face mask that didn't get called on Gibson. That pissed me off. But in general, at the end of the game, They're out there. They're going for it on fourth down. They're throwing the ball. They're putting a drive together. It didn't matter. Of course it didn't matter. But those are reps. Those are reps that matter for Drake May. And that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see him go out there, take a shot in the end zone. He didn't bite when I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, they put guys back there. And, you know, it's so fine. So throw a short pass. You know, don't hand it off. Don't run into the line. That run game yesterday was pathetic. That run game couldn't do anything. There's no holes, and Antonio Gibson was tap dancing all around. That was as bad of a run game as I've seen the Patriots have in years. So, didn't need to see any more of that.
You said it wouldn't have mattered, but can we kind of use the Gerard Mayo preseason comment? It wouldn't have really counted, but it may have mattered. Right? Like, those reps matter.
The reps matter, yes, right. It
like
didn't matter.
The experience,
you're not
like the
win
count,
the game,
whether
yeah,
you
right.
lose by 20 or you lose by 7, whatever, 13, whatever.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even have changed gamblers. It wouldn't have changed anything because it was already over.
Unless you made some in-game bets.
You weren't covered, right, maybe some of those. But I believe every one of those matter. Like, a screen pass.
Yep.
What if he gets the same screen pass and realizes, oh, yeah, I do need to throw it into the ground immediately?
Mm-hmm.
Like, every one of those little things, or, oh, when I'm looking to the left, I could get hit really hard from the right, or I don't know what exactly the play, how it would have unfolded.
But it's experience.
It's experience.
Yeah.
Every one of those, even if it's shotgun and a bad snap, how do I react to the bad snap? How do I react to this? Like, it's a choose-your-own-adventure that I don't know where it's going to go, but it would be logging like information, like he's the ultimate AI, and he's logging background information so he can make a better decision down the road and be a learning computer. So I agree with that. And they've done some of those weird things. Like we asked the question, San Francisco, why didn't he play? Like garbage time. So 1 week's garbage time, he plays. The next week, garbage time, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Some of these I do wonder, is it Gerard Mayo imparting something? Like, did he want him in New York, then for whatever reason didn't want him in San Francisco, and then yesterday, as like a defensive player, does he say, no, this is garbage time. That's BS if we try to score here. I don't know. He's an old middle linebacker. Maybe he would look at that differently. I have no idea.
Yeah, and, you know, the Houston Texans, I mean, they're up by 20 points. They're probably not going to get too offended by it, so I don't really see
you
what
never
the,
know, though.
What
the harm it's would be. One middle linebacker
and even
coach
if they do
to another.
Who gives a – I mean, you know, like, what, do we got to worry about the Texans' feelings here? This is the rookie quarterback. It's his first game.
That's
let him
all
get
I'm
some
worried
reps.
About.
Chris is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris dropped off. Arkansas.
Oh, Chris dropped off. How about Paul and Quincy? Go ahead,
yep.
Paul.
Paul.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you? One of the things that I was very impressed with yesterday was his resiliency. He threw two interceptions in his first game. A lot of times a quarterback will dwell on that. It didn't seem to bother him. He went out. He drove the team down the field. I was optimistic with what I saw. You know, fans who expected him to go out and throw for 350 yards and four touchdowns are delusional. Give the kid a chance. I think he's good. He's going to make his mistakes. But I liked his mental toughness yesterday. I thought it was impressive.
All right.
So did he.
Yeah,
he right? did That's too. What he said he liked, you know, best about what he did yesterday. And even, it sounds stupid, but even immediately on the pick, he grabs his head, but then realizes, oh, shoot, I probably got to get in on the tackle here,
yeah.
And got in on the tackle.
Yes,
he made the tackle. So that's another experience, a little bit of value. I don't know if that ever comes up again, but maybe next time he doesn't waste the time putting his hands on his head. Maybe he just takes an extra step, and maybe that's the difference, stopping some fast corner running down the field with the ball.
Yeah, maybe. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. We'll be right back to wrap things up with Odds and Ends. Time for Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. There's a Monday night game tonight, division game, Jets and the Bills, which we'll get to in just a second. But before we do, did you happen to see Nick Sirianni yesterday?
Yeah, what's wrong with him?
What is wrong with that guy? That guy, he's out of control. Did you see him screaming at his own fans?
Like, I did.
What are you doing?
And then he tried to couch it with like, oh, I was having fun. And he's like, we love these fans when they're cheering
Do you?
Us.
Do
but
you?
And then he did.
I mean, they're Philly fans, so obviously no one likes them.
The horse. I just almost said it. The horse crap thing when he brings his kid to the podium,
yes.
Which adds a weird layer of like, you know, you're going to be asked about
yeah.
a tough look.
Earmuffs.
And like your kid is there. Like now you're making me kind of be a jerk because I'm asking you about being a jerk in front of your kid, which I'd rather your kid be with your wife so that I can ask you, did you feel like you were being a jerk there? But did you also read the answer? He claims, and this may be good, there's a sneaky silver lining if I'm an Eagles fan here. You know who he claims told him that he needs to pop off and show more emotion?
No, I don't know who.
Jalen Hurts.
Oh.
Who supposedly he has this weird relationship with. And Jalen Hurts is like, we're going to live and die with you. If that's you, we need you to be you. We need you to do you. Which is funny because Jalen Hurts is the opposite.
I know.
He is like just like stone face, doesn't change kind of guy. But if there's truth to that, if I'm an Eagles fan and it's true that Jalen Hurts told Sirianni to basically act like a jackass again because that's who he is at his core. He's a jackass.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that's good for the team culture and maybe moving forward because I'll tell you, the performance was not what I was expecting.
No.
They got healthy, and there's nothing there, and my freaking bet on Saquon Barkley for Offensive Player of the Year is not looking as good as it was once looking, and I should have taken the buyout.
No, it is spiraling right now. It's looking a little bit better than Shime's Anthony Richardson MVP vote, I'll say that. But
way better.
Not much better. And they almost blew that game, too. The Browns almost beat them in Philadelphia. Like, that would have been the worst loss of the year for them, probably, and they've had some bad ones already. Cleveland now, who's 1-5, another team that's probably going to be competing with you and the Jacksonville Jaguars for the first overall pick, is not something. I mean, listen, a home game, that was supposed to be a get-right game for them, and they did win, and they're over 500, but man, Eagles fans are kind of in hell right now. What do you think the best game of the weekend was?
The best game of the weekend was Patriots and Texans because Drake May.
Okay, other than that, what do you think the best game of the weekend was?
What did I watch? Some of us are busy, you know, on Sundays. We watch the Patriots.
That's
and then
true.
We have to do a post-game show. I love the touchdown montage. That gives me a little feel for
I love
everything.
The montage, too. That montage, whatever's going on in your life, that montage starts, you're just sitting there watching.
Yes, great, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially there was like... There was some kick returns, punt returns. There was a few weird plays. What was the best game of the weekend? Remind me, because I thought
that it was Baltimore-Washington. I thought that was the best game of the weekend.
Absolutely.
Because Jackson went off. I thought that Daniels had a good game. It was, you know, the young guy going up against the established sort of running mobile quarterback.
Yeah, Mega was like, they had a great game, and I thought, there's no shame in losing to the Ravens. I know they haven't been blowing doors off people, but the Ravens are a good measuring stick team. And the Battle of the Beltway or whatever the hell they called it down there, I think you held your own. I think you very much held your own there, and that's a good sign for them. I'm hoping the game of the weekend is actually tonight.
Yeah.
Because I like when I get to go home after this tremendous Monday show with you, and then we go home, and I have a couple Miller Lights, and I watch a football game, and this has the makings of what should be a pretty good football game.
Yeah.
Do we believe?
I think so.
Burgundy?
Buffalo's needs a win here. They've lost two in a row.
Yeah.
After that great start that I got off to. The Jets need a win. There's a big game for both teams, and the Jets get the fired coach bump, too.
And they fired the coach, and if they win this game, I believe they're in first place.
Is that right?
I believe they'd be tied with the Bills for first place.
Yeah, they'd both be 3-3. That's right. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, you fired your coach because it was a mess or whatever was going on, or I don't even know what Woody Johnson was doing, but you fired your coach and you win one game and now you're back in it. And as we've talked about, you get the coach firing bump. They're a talented team. Like, I'm going to go back to that Bill Belichick gushing over the Jets. Remember when he was gushing over the Jets?
Loves that roster.
And now he could have the job, I think, if he wants it. He could have the Dallas job. We haven't even done Bill Watch. We're going to do Bill Watch tomorrow, I hope?
Yeah, let's save that for tomorrow. But, yeah, there's definitely some new options. Well, I don't know if they're new options, but the options are all over the place now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's some interesting options on the horizon. But, no, I'm hoping that the game of the weekend is tonight so that I can enjoy it.
You on anything tonight?
Am I on anything?
Yes, in terms of betting.
Drugs.
Oh, that's what I thought you meant. Like,
not what I meant.
I don't usually do that kind of. Miller Lite is really.
Me and my family are all going to be freebasing Benadryl tonight, so there's that. But yeah.
So I just built a First of all, I just built a parlay.
Okay.
With my friends over at FanDuel because I had a profit boost. Am I a sucker for profit boosts? I love those.
Like, no, I see a profit boost. That's what they put them there for. Yeah. But no, I do them
too. It lures me in. Yeah. So I got. This is Brian's pick.
If they get you doing parlays, then they're winning. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Exactly right, yeah.
But Brian, I had a Breece Hall anytime's touchdown. He's like, nah, they always give it to Allen. They always give it to Allen. And the juice was much better on Allen. Mm-hmm. So I did a Braylon Allen anytime touchdown. Garrett Wilson over 58.5 yards receiving. I feel like they're just going to keep it simple, stupid. The offense should be Rodgers to Garrett Wilson. So do it. And Josh Allen over 25 rushing yards. Put that all together with your profit boost, you get a plus 1046, baby.
That's nice.
Boom.
Is Shakir playing?
I don't think so because he's not listed on any of the receptions or any of the props for the wide receiver. Also, I did a single bet. Tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
It's not a prop. It's just a single bet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a parlay. Josh Allen to record 20-plus passing yards in each quarter.
I love that.
Doesn't it seem like stealing?
Like yeah, it does. It really, I mean,
it always seems like stealing around 6, and then around 10 o'clock tonight, I'll be like, son of.
And then in the fourth quarter, he gets like 19. And
right.
It's like, ugh. You know?
And it's plus money.
I like those. I like the ones that are set up like that. Where
plus 115.
Seems like it's just so easy.
Can't miss.
Yeah. You know?
I just took out the kids' college education money, and boom, I put it all down.
Very good.
FanDuel, thank you, because now they're going to Harvard. They were just going to go to some local community college.
Sure. Or hopefully get a scholarship somewhere. Either way, there you go. All right. That's odds and ends. And that's just about all the time we have here today. A Patriots Monday live from Gillette Stadium after a moral victory Monday, or a moral victory Sunday, I should say. A 20-point loss to the Houston Texans.
Woo!
The debut of Drake May and the debut of Drake May here on this show. We'll have more on that tomorrow as we continue to react and look ahead to this game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We called the Dolphins game the race to the basement. This could be the actual race to the basement of the NFL.
Who's number one?
So we'll talk about Ross Tucker tomorrow at 2:30. And we'll talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.